Welcome to a very special episode of Toonami Therapy. But unlike sitcoms from the 90s, we're not going to bludgeon you over the head about why drugs are bad or whatever else the message of the week was. We didn't mention it last week because I totally forgot, but there was no Toonami this week. So we decided to do a sort of special episode and watch the 2017 live-action Ghost in the Shell movie and then go and review it.
Yep.
So I guess we can get into it. But before we talk about the movie, I'm just curious, what kind of things did you know going into this? Or, like, what had you heard about it or impressions?
The only thing I really knew about it was that her name was changed, which is kind of a spoiler. other than that, I didn't have any real idea what I'd heard, you know, the usual complaining about, you know, casting and that kind of stuff, but I didn't really know much going in.
Yeah, I think I knew a little more, but because I did actually listen to a review on this movie review podcast I listened to, but that was a while ago and I kind of forgot most of what they said. So I mostly kind of just went in this knowing that it got okay reviews. It's it was on Rotten Tomatoes. It was like 44% or something. So, you know, that's not good, but it's not, you know, really low. I mean, it doesn't mean that 44% of the people did give it a positive review. So, yeah, so I was kind of going in there, kind of expecting, as a result of that, a kind of middling film, you know, okay, not great. And that's, in my opinion, that's exactly what I got. I don't know what your overall reaction to it was.
My reaction? My big problem was that it just, like, the first half of the movie was pretty good, but the plot really didn't have much to do with the anime at all.
Yeah, it's my understanding that various adaptations of the series have diverged a bunch. I've like heard the manga was actually quite a bit different from the TV series, and I think the animated films that came before it might have been different also. My only exposure to the series to the Ghost in the Shell franchise is the TV show. So for all I know, maybe this is closer to some of the other versions, or maybe it isn't close at all. Yeah. So, as we've mentioned, basically the premise of the show was that the people in Section 9, the most prominent of them being the Major, Bato, and Togusa, just kind of, this is sort of in the future of, I can't remember the year, I think 2030 or something. And, you know, there's sort of like a special investigation unit, and they, you know, try to handle crimes and stuff. So it's sort of like that. It's sort of kind of, I guess, NCIS, but in the future. And this one, you know, there's still some of that. That's what their mission is. They go and do that, but it doesn't really focus that much on that. To kind of give a quick synopsis. So the Major, who I'm just going to call the Major because I can never remember the alternate name they gave for her in this. But to be honest, for a lot of the TV show, I couldn't remember her name either, so I just said the Major. So essentially, what happened was she was the supposed survivor of a cyber terrorist attack, but they were able to save her brain, which they then put into this fully synthetic body, and which I think was also the case in the TV show. Her backstory wasn't really gone into in the first season. I actually looked it up after watching this. They go into a little more in the second season, but I don't think it matches up much with what this movie did. So, you know, so they're going to trying to do stuff, but then, you know, there's some, like, a terrorist guy who's attacking the company, which is a separate thing from the Section 9 that sort of created her And, you know, and then it just goes into stuff about her past and stuff. Yeah. I think, honestly, your assessment, I didn't think about it before, because I like, finished watching this about 15 minutes before we recorded this. Oh, and I might as well mention, this, we are recording this on Halloween, so there, I don't know about on your end, but you might hear some doorbells, ring for our trick-or-treaters, from me. But, yeah, that was decent, because, you know, it was kind of a mystery thing, and it felt like an enlarged episode of the show, essentially. But then it kind of focuses way more on the specific, on the Major's backstory, and, you know, the company that did that, rather than, you know, it just being them, you know, trying to figure out, like, you know, the, and that just kind of goes to the mystery, and
well, it's a lot less on Section 9 and what they do, and more focused on her backstory, mm-hmm. and
yeah, basically. No, sorry, yeah. Go on. Yeah,
well, it's
we need to stop saying something while the other does. Okay, you go.
All right. So the Section 9 part of it is like really reduced, other than a part early on in the first half of the movie where Bato and her go on a mission. Whenever you see that, you think, okay, this is pretty much like the original Ghost in the Shell. But then after that, it goes into this whole backstory about trying to find what her real identity is, what her past was, and that takes over the rest of the show, and the Section 9 stuff kind of gets reduced a lot.
Yeah, after that point, I mean, Bato's just kind of there. Aramaki is also just kind of there, and for some reason only speaks Japanese,
mm-hmm.
while everyone else speaks English, pretty much, mm-hmm. which is kind of weird, because this took... I can't remember where this was supposed to take place. Was it, like, Japan, Hong Kong, something like that? But it's just a little weird to do that, because, I mean, I could always just assume, okay, it's the future, they got translators, which would explain why, you know, you have Aramaki speaking Japanese while the other person is speaking English to him.
Mm-hmm.
But then it just brings up the question, well, why are you doing it like this? That was just a little weird. But, yeah, they're just kind of there, and then the rest of Section 9 gets, like, nothing. Like, Togusa is barely there at all.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of the most, and he was about as important as Bato in the TV show.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, Togusa was like so, had such a little part in this, I could barely remember that he was there.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the problem I'm running into, is that it's just such an okay movie. I'm having trouble thinking of things to really say about it. Because originally I was thinking, yeah, this would make a more interesting thing to talk about than the Death Note movie, because, you know, we'd just be repeating all the criticisms everyone else has said. And I'm thinking, that might have been more interesting, because at least from everything I've heard, there's a lot of stuff you can point to and explain why it doesn't work. This one was just mostly kind of dull towards the end.
Yeah. The whole second half of this movie is the problem with it, because at least I was expecting at least this to be Ghost in the Shell, but basically they focused on the words ghost and shell, and they put all their focus into that rather than what those of us who watch Ghost in the Shell, we think of it as Section 9 solving crime and going in and doing stuff. we don't think of it as, okay, the major, you know, got put in this body and she had a different life and all this other stuff. We don't think of it like that. So that's my big problem with it.
Yeah, and the film does sort of, it's obviously not in continuity with the TV show, but it does sort of, it's placing the time in the timeline would sort of be loosely as a bit of a prequel. Because, for example, you see Bato, like, you know, get the robot eyes he has in the show after.
Right, I thought,
yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty nice touch, actually. I thought that was a pretty good part that they put into this movie.
Yeah, that's what I was sort of expecting, of like for it to sort of serve as a prequel in a sense. Like I say in a sense because, again, it's not a direct prequel. It's obviously a different continuity, but basically sort of showing some of the stuff that set up the setting of the show. Mm-hmm. And I think we might as well move into some spoilers here. We already kind of said our general thoughts on the movie, so let's get into it. Okay, so when it goes into her past, what it turns out is that the company that sort of rebuilt her act, she wasn't the first they did that, they tried to do that for. There were a lot of previous ones, and one of them that like kind of failed, and one of them is the guy who you know is causing the various havoc and stuff. So she meets him and he tells her what's actually going on, and you know, then when she finds out, the company tries to get rid of her, but it does, but you know, she's able to manage to defeat them, and the actual bad guy ends up you know, losing and such, and you know, she reunites with the person who was the mother of herself before, you know, all that stuff happened, because the thing about her parents dying was a false memory they put into her. And that's and that whole part is just much less interesting. It's just kind of a detour from what the show was like. And at that point also, like you mentioned, that's the point where Bato just stops being important.
Yeah.
Before he was a real force in the show. He was investigating with her. He had that plot about the eyes. But after that, he just makes a few appearances. There's even that part where she's, you know, worried about people coming after her. And, you know, she talks to him and he says, oh, well, do you trust me? And she says, yes. And then that just doesn't really go anywhere. She, when she then got captured, I was thinking, okay, there, she's got some sort of a special thing with Bato here that will, you know, and this is really all like their plan, but no, it wasn't that at all. He just leaves the movie for a while for some reason.
This movie definitely had its problems. I mean, it's not terrible like most people were expecting it to be. But for someone who has watched at least the first season of Ghost in the Cell, it's a big disappointment because it is such a departure from what Ghost in the Cell, what we know it to be. And honestly, you could have just changed all the people's names and made it just a generic sci-fi movie, and no one would have ever realized that it was supposed to be part of Ghost in the Cell.
Yeah, that's a good point. And again, it just comes back to that second half. Although, I when I was watching this, I was trying to think, to try to say, okay, suppose I knew nothing about Ghost in the Shell. What would I think of this? And, I mean, I can't give a definite answer, but I get the feeling that someone watching it would actually be kind of confused by a bunch of the things that it sort of dumps on you. Which, to be fair, the TV series was rather guilty of that also. I was really confused in the initial episodes.
Yeah, I agree. Here's the other thing I had a problem with, and I almost totally forgot this, but I would have loved if this movie had as its villain the Laughing Man. You know, I mean, if the Laughing Man was the villain of this movie, it would have really hit home with fans of Ghost in a Shell, because it would have, you know, that's what one of the things people think of. But that kind of stuff, I mean, not only was that not a villain, but anything of the sort was kind of this cut out, and it was just kind of generic sci-fi movie, and that's what I took away from it. I was like, okay, this had characters' names from Ghost in the Shell, but it really wasn't much Ghost in the Shell, you know?
Yeah, although I should mention, I guess he didn't end up being the primary villain. The primary villain was the cutter guy, the sort of CEO of the company. I don't know about him, but I do know that the guy, Hideo Kuze, who was initially portrayed as the antagonist, I think he was a character in the season 2 of the anime, although I don't know how close he was to his representation there. I think I looked up some information. It looked like, you know, it was one of those cases where, well, he's got the same name and there's a few similarities, but otherwise he's pretty much a different thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's basically what it just comes down to. And again, it's annoying because I thought this movie was off to a pretty decent start. I was thinking, this isn't great, but I'm some of the stuff is enjoyable to watch. It does. It feels like an expanded episode of the show, and then it just goes into this completely different thing that just throws most of the elements of the show out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It's that second half of the movie just really went downhill and unfortunately ended up not being too good, because for the first half, I honestly thought it was pretty decent adaptation of it, and then it, you know, just stopped being as good.
Yeah, but I will say one thing, despite its issues, this was unfortunately one of the better live action English adaptations of an anime. I mean, it's better than Dragon Ball Evolution by a considerable amount. although I can't say it's like even like the best, because well, I don't know if this really counts. This wasn't really an adaptation of an anime, but it was an do you ever see that movie Edge of Tomorrow?
No.
Okay. It was based on a Japanese novel, which actually had a separate manga adaptation. It was a somewhat loose adaptation, the movie Edge of Tomorrow. The novel was called All You Need Is Kill. But honestly, it was a really good movie. I really strongly recommend it. It's sort of like it's got the same general premise of Groundhog Day, of a guy continually, you know, reliving the same day. What happens is there's this big battle against these aliens, and he gets sort of hit with something that makes it so each time he's killed, he just resets to the beginning of that day and has to figure out a way to, you know, prevent, to fix things, because what happens is a battle where you know, the humans get completely massacred, and he has to figure out how to handle that. And it's honestly a great movie. There's a surprisingly high amount of jokes in it. Like, just seeing him, you know, get killed in all these ways and keep resetting. It's pretty funny. I really recommend it. I thought it was good. Unfortunately, it didn't really get that much attention. But that's a bit off topic from this. Just, I guess. Yeah, Oh yeah, one other thing. There was one of the robots that they sort of fight at the end, I think, was supposed to be like a Tachikoma, except it didn't talk or anything. It was just a robot monster there, and I was like, "Aw, you ruined one of the best parts of the show."
Yeah, I agree. I was gonna mention that it unfortunately, and it was a bad guy. It was like a villain instead of being part of Section 9. But I mean, at least they tried putting that in the movie, mm-hmm. so they threw a bone to the fans, I guess. But overall, unfortunately, this movie, I mean, I'm glad I watched it because it, you know, I wanted to know about it. I had originally planned on seeing it in the theaters, and I never got around to it. So it's overall, how can I put it? It would have, if it didn't have the Ghost in the Cell name, I'm not sure if I would have liked it more or less. I mean, it would have been better because it's not as accurate, you know?
It would have been better in that you wouldn't have been expecting something and going off to something else. But that's it also would have kind of been worse in that it would have been completely new. You wouldn't have at least, because I mean, I could at least recognize the characters in there, even if they didn't really do as much as they should have.
Right. You got it there. That's what I was trying to get at. I didn't know how to say it, though.
Yeah. I don't really regret it either. This was a film that I had been planning to watch for a while, just because I was at least curious about it. I guess that's the general thing. If you like Ghost in the Shell and you're just kind of curious and want to see, it's not, you might as well. It's not terribly, I guess it is 106 minutes, but by movie times nowadays, it's actually kind of short.
And just throwing it out there, there's nothing after the credits, so don't waste your time watching the 10-minute credits.
I fast-forwarded through it, but...
Yeah, so did I. I just was like... But you know how these days, like, every single movie has something after the credits, and... It was like a fun addition to movies when it first came out, but now it's just kind of annoying.
Yeah. Well, the real issue is when you go to a movie expecting it and then it doesn't happen, because I can't remember, but I remember, like, the Marvel films are the ones that are best known for it. You know, putting something at the end of the credits and sometimes in the middle of the credits. And then, what was it? There's one where where there wasn't anything at the end, and it just feels like, well, everything else has, and you made me wait? Honestly, those movies have honestly just started getting meta about it, with, like, some teasers that just seem to, like, be a joke to kind of say, you actually stayed after it to watch this. That was literally the joke at the end of the Spider-Man Homecoming credits, basically. Just kind of making a joke at waiting through the credits and then nothing really happening at the end. Now, to be fair, I thought it was a hilarious joke, and I guess I kind of gave it away, but it's still, like, it's like that, getting to the point where they're making jokes about it in the ending credits stuff.
Mm.
But yeah, there wasn't anything here at the end of this. So yeah, like, if you're it's just like I said, an okay movie. I don't think someone would really watch this, and unless they were all really upset about some of the casting, you know, there's some controversy about that. I'm not really going to get into it because it's sort of out of my pay grade, and and I just kind of wanted to talk about the movie itself. But unless that was something that really riled you up, I don't think anyone would watch this and be really upset about it. Maybe
no, they did a good job of making that kind of make sense, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. But let's see. But yeah, like, you know, like I said, if you're curious about it, you know, you watch Ghost in the Shell and you're interested, you could watch. I don't think you'd consider it a time waster. You probably wouldn't like it too. Like, you wouldn't think it's a great movie, but it's a passable one, definitely. If you haven't seen any of Ghost in the Shell, well, watch the TV series instead. But if, but again, there, if you watch this, you'll just kind of find it sort of generic science fiction movie. That's just a problem. That's just what's so hard to really say about it. It's just okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Right. I think that's pretty much everything I have to say about it. Did you have any other thoughts?
No, I think that you've helped me get out everything I was trying to say about the movie. So, yeah, overall, just it was okay, but it's not what you probably were hoping for, you know?
Yeah.
If you were hoping for a Ghost in the Shell live action adaptation, this probably isn't what you were hoping to see.
Okay, yeah. And like I said, we've only watched a TV show. There have been some other animated films that, for all I know, are closer to this, or maybe even farther away. But based on the TV show, which I think was probably the most famous of the parts, but of the different adaptations, but I could be wrong. Well, everything we already said applies.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's the end of this. I don't want to just keep dragging it out or anything. So next week we'll be back with our regular episode where we go through the things that aired on Toonami. Although on the topic of Ghost in the Shell, they still haven't put up any like the first episode from the second season. So I don't know what's going to be going on with that, because it's kind of hard because it's on so late. And like, and I've managed to get some of the DVDs to look at it, watch them that way. But I don't know how much we'll be able to cover it unless they actually start putting it on their website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess that's it. You can see all of our previous episodes at tsunamitherapy.podbean.com or tommyaphillips.com. If you have any suggestions or comments or anything, you can, well, leave a comment at either of those locations. And like I said, we'll see you next week. And this would be a great time to try to make a Ghost in the Shell pun, but I've got nothing, so that's where we'll end it.